It's so nice to have some of our young people participating in that. Thank you all so much. That was great. And I love all of those songs. That was a home run right there. So thank you a lot for that. All right. So this is Father's Day. You're catching me at a weird time of life. Today, I am not going to give you a sermon that I have had a laser focus on for some time. I have been all over the place with my thoughts this week. It's been a very unusual week for me, and it is Father's Day, so you're going to have to indulge me, and we're going to talk about uncommon fathers, and I'm also going to talk about the early passing of a friend, and so you just have to bear with me today, okay? So uncommon fathers, Father's Day 2020, human and male. Human is great. What would you rather be in a fight to the finish? A 6-foot rattlesnake with venom, or a 10-year-old kid with a big stick? You know that the kid with the stick will win almost every time. And that's what it means to be human. We can beat off the rattlesnakes. We win against all the creatures. We have basically made certain species extinct because we're the kings of the world, humans. Now, among the humans, there are two kinds. There are the males and the females. And the males in America weigh 26 pounds more than the females and are 5 inches taller. That means in this world, men are the champions of the universe. And I'm glad to say that I'm among them. But that raises a big problem. That means toxic maleness is the most frightening problem Earth faces in every generation. That means godly maleness is the greatest tangible help most humans will ever have access to in this world, in this life. In other words, if bandits were coming, I would like to have a lot of men around me. And I'd like to have the women around me too. But while they are there, I want the men. Because if we have male help against bandits, that's good. Also, if I am doing very hard work like farming, I would like to have a good number of men around me, and even if I'm moving furniture. And that's because males are the kings of creation. Humans are over all the species, and males over the women. But this raises some really big problems because toxic masculinity is frightening. It's frightening to all of us. That's why there are bandits. And so we have to face the biggest problem as well as the biggest blessing. We fathers are more than just guardians to our children, therefore. We're the guardians of the whole world. We Christian men are the guardians of the world. That is, nobody is as important on God's green earth as Christian men. We are the guardians of the galaxy. And that's pretty special. Of course, if it's toxic masculinity, we're not the guardians of anybody. We are like fools with guns. We're very powerful and we are foolish. And so all males can be toxic, you know, bullies, or they can be guardians of the galaxy. And they have to decide which they're going to be. Uncommon fathers. Today, we're going to talk about the real guardians of the galaxies. And these are fathers who set the pace, godly fathers. And then I have to talk about lessons from the early departure of a friend. And so, Father's Day, these are my thoughts. All right, so first of all, guardians of the galaxy. There's been a wholesale neutralizing of the guardians, the men. The men are neutralized in the war for the kingdom of God by promiscuity, divorce, fatherlessness, substance impairment, excessive devotion to career, excessive devotion to favorite pastimes, and by male emotional unwellness, much of which comes as a result of everything else in this list. So what we really need is another influx of guardians of the galaxy, because so many of our guardians have already been neutralized. That's a big problem. Every day, all of us men have to choose to shun the impulsive and self-serving things that they can get away with doing in order that we might build the kingdom of God's love. And we all have to choose this every day. It's easy to choose something else. It's easy to be selfish. It's easy to be self-serving. It's easy to be impulsive. But every day, all of us, if we are going to be guardians of the galaxy, we have to choose to shun all those things. And instead, to build God's kingdom of love, we have to. It's a choice we all make every day. And if you've been studying with us for a little while, you know that we've been dealing with the 12 rules of life. And we talked about this in rule number 12. Spend your whole life building people. Because only people last forever. So every day we have to choose. Are we going to be impulsive? Are we going to be self-serving? Or are we going to build people? And Jesus told us that his hope for us, his desire for us in John 15:16 was, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you to be guardians of the galaxy. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." You can do all kinds of things in your life, but it won't last. Unless you build people. That's the fruit that never goes away. That's the forever fruit. And Jesus wanted this for us. And so every day, males have to choose whether they're going to be indulging their selfishness, whether they're going to be impulsive, or whether they're going to build the loving kingdom of God. So that also relates to rule number 10 that we've talked about in recent weeks. We men have to force ourselves to do what we don't want to do in order to achieve what we do want to achieve. We do want to have lasting fruit. We do want to have fruit that abides forever. And that means we have to say no to self-service. We have to say yes to building God's kingdom of love. Remember, if we don't, there's a price to pay. Proverbs 25:28. "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, absolutely vulnerable to every bad thing that comes down the pipeline." So we have to force ourselves to have discipline over a broken down city with broken down walls. 1 Corinthians 9:25 has the Apostle Paul saying, "And every man that strives for the mastery, for competition, is disciplined in all things. Now those athletes, they do it to receive a corruptible crown." It goes away. It doesn't last. Their fruit will not remain. "But we do this to obtain an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I know what my goal is. I fight not as one who is shadow boxing. I'm doing some damage with my punches. I keep under my body," like I pick myself up and say, "Get going," under my body. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Do what you have to do. Force yourself to do what you don't want to do in order to achieve what you do want to achieve. And males have to do that every day of their lives if they're going to be guardians of the galaxy, if they're going to build God's kingdom of love. Force yourself to do what you don't want to do in order to achieve what you do want to achieve, fruit that lasts forever. Building people, building God's kingdom of love. In Acts 17:1, we have this wonderful text. It is when Paul's on his missionary tour. He passes through Thessalonica, and in Thessalonica, there's a riot. Here's how the story goes in verse 1. "When they came to Thessalonica, Paul went in unto them and reasoned with them 3 Sabbath days out of the Scriptures. But the Jews who did not believe, being moved with envy, gathered a mob and set all the city in an uproar. And they drew Jason, one of the believers, who was hosting Paul in his house. And they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here also.'" I've always loved that line. Oh, they turned the world upside down, did they? And that's exactly what the guardians of the world are doing to this day. That's what uncommon fathers are doing this very day. We who are following Jesus are turning the world upside down. And I like to point out that while we are indeed turning the world upside down, the real problem is the world was already upside down when we arrived. So when we turn it upside down, we're really just turning it back where it should be, right side up. And that's our job. We locate the spirit of the world and we stand against it. We are the gatekeepers. We are the guardians, not just guardians of our own children, but really guardians of the world. And that's what it means to be an uncommon father. It means we are going to turn the world upside down, which is really right side up where it always belonged in the first place. The credo of our world has always been wine, women, and song. The more crass and more recent version of that is drug, sex, and rock and roll. But it's the same idea. The credo of our upside down world in the year 2020 is still that wine, women, and song. The lesson we derive from this is clear. Non-marital intercourse and substance impairment are central to the hedonic lifestyle of our world. The credo of our world is non-marital intercourse and impairment from substances. Wine and women and song. That is the credo of our world. As guardians of this world, we cannot follow that credo, and we will not. American culture is a culture, but it's a culture with 1,000 subcultures. Interestingly, many of these subcultures are just revolving around preferences concerning the credo, wine, women, and song. So we have the culture, the subculture of people who abuse substances. But there are all different kinds. Like the person who says, well, we are only up for getting drunk or high on the weekends, but we're trying to live a respectable life during the week. But then somebody else says, well, I'm always up for being impaired by substances, you know, any day of the week. And somebody says, well, I'm actually a beer guy, only beer for me, you know, keggers and all of that. And somebody else says, well, I'm also a weed guy, and I'm kind of into that. And somebody else says, well, I'm microdosing with hallucinogenics, and I'm kind of into that. And so it's all divided up into subcultures, and you find your place on the World Wide Web and at various night spots and wherever you gather with people in the hallways of school or at work or wherever you gather. To have a subculture is to say, these are my heart people. If you've ever traveled to a different country, probably when you arrive back in the U.S., you say, ah, this feels like home. I'm comfortable here. These are my people. But in the U.S., then there are also tribes. C.S. Lewis used to talk about a picnic in which there were two school buses carrying people back and forth. And somehow a couple of people got switched to the wrong buses. There was one bus full of party goers, and a Christian got on that bus and was miserable. That was not his tribe. Those were not his heart people. Then there was another bus that was carrying a Sunday school crowd to the picnic, and a worldling got on that Sunday school bus, and he was not happy. He would not be able to say, this is my tribe. These are my people. So there are entire subcultures arranged around what you're going to do with wine. I'm a wine guy. I'm a weed guy. I'm an anything goes guy, whatever. And groups. And then there are entire subcultures that are organized around what you're going to do with women. Are you going to be a James Bond guy and you're going to love all the women but have commitments to none? Teresa and I are always amazed at the shows we watch that have absolutely no married characters at all who are there week after week. We're watching Star Trek. There's not a married person on that show, or not a major married person on that show. NCIS, NCIS New Orleans, where are the married people? Nobody's married. No marriage. So we're all organized in our subcultures, trying to decide what we're going to do with women, or is it really just women? Women, now we just have to say partners. And then you have all these subcultures. So, these are my heart. Not just in America. Ah, we're in America. It feels good. Not just in America. But then, in America, this is my bus. These are my heart people. This is where I feel comfortable. And to the world, whose credo is wine, women, and song, you know what doesn't work for them? You know who they are not comfortable with? Monogamous people. People who marry for life, one woman, men. and people who meticulously avoid being impaired by alcohol and drugs. That does not work. These are not my people. This is not my tribe. Because my credo, the world's credo, is wine, women, and song. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world with that credo, wine, women, and song. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he that does the will of God abides forever. The credo of the world, wine, women, and the song doesn't work for the guardians of the galaxy. It can never work. James says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wine, women, and song? I think not. Not for guardians of the galaxy. Why is that? Why is God so mean? He doesn't let us pursue wine and women. Why? Well, that's because it brings heartbreak and emotional unwellness that always accompanies superficial relationships and rejection. You cannot be superficial in all of your relationships and rejected constantly and survive that emotionally. You'll be so dinged up, you'll be so scarred up emotionally that you'll cease to function properly as a human being. That's why God is not mean when he says, not women, plural, one woman. Not wine, never impaired. Why is God so mean to us? He won't let us pursue wine and women because it brings unwanted children into the world. And what about that? Well, after that, then there's abortion, there's abandonment, there's single mother poverty and single mother frustration. There are emotionally distraught mothers and children who eventually perform poorly by and large and commit crimes and perpetuate the cycle of immorality. God is not being mean. He doesn't want that to happen. That's what the world's credo will take you to, after all. Wine, women, and song, broken hearts, and broken lives. And wine, women, and song, the credo, promotes the delusion and derangement of impairment in a time when foresight and insight are absolutely critical. You live in a dangerous world. You live in Jurassic Park. The last thing you need right now is to be impaired. You need to be as smart as you can be. You need to be as wise as you can be, as prudent as you can be. You need insight. You need foresight. You need to see the future. The last thing you need is impairment. And so wine, women, and song will never work for the guardians of the galaxy. This is all part of the colossal delusion then. It's the basis of the colossal delusion that we have experienced here in America in recent weeks. It sounds like this. Delusional. Poverty is the cause of immorality and the emotional unwellness that it triggers. We touched on this last week. They say, well, they have to act like that because they're poor. Do you know that is exactly contrary to Scripture? What the Scripture really does is glorify poverty, lionize the poor, praise the poor, so that Jesus says, blessed are the poor. James talks about the poor and says, are not these the poor of this world rich in faith? Poor means rich in faith in the Bible. Poverty doesn't cause wine, women, and song. Poverty causes faith if it causes anything. Are not the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which God has promised to those who love him? Poverty leads to faith. Poverty leads to God. Poverty is not the cause of wine, women, and song and all the pains that go with that. That's a delusional thought, and the guardians of the galaxy will never fall for that. Number two, the delusion says, adulterers, wine lovers, and unloving people have nothing to repent of. But moral and loving people must get on their knees and apologize to immoral people for evils they have not committed. So you are living the wine, women, and song credo, and you want me to get on my knees and apologize to you for evils I have not committed? That is a backwards view of repentance. What the Bible actually teaches is that if you are living the wine, women, and song credo, you must repent. And if you do not repent, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The sins that you are actually practicing are the ones that need to be repented of in this crucial hour, not the sins that other people are accused of and have not practiced. Number three, the delusion. It is justice. It is social justice. It is justice to judge the hearts of majority people, to unhesitatingly pronounce them guilty for being unloving towards non-majority people. I can tell by the color of your skin that you are guilty. In a world where the Bible has said, don't do it. Judge not. Do not judge people. You do not know the secrets of the heart. And if you judge people, you shall be judged. And so suddenly the delusion says, no, we can judge people. And we must judge people. And we are unhesitatingly judging people. And you're a long, long ways from the New Testament when you do that. The delusion. People who practice fornication, drunkenness, and cruelty should be indulged, admired, and rewarded. When again, the New Testament says you should avoid them so that they'll be ashamed. Far from rewarding them and indulging them, the Bible says we're trying to shame them. We are censuring them. And so we live in a world of delusion. That is a long, long ways from the New Testament. And those who will be guardians of the galaxy are going to have to pay attention to the New Testament and not follow the delusion. This brings us to the conclusion that guardians of the world don't pursue wine, women, and song. They don't. And it reminds us of rule number two. Habituate a characteristic focus on the things that will matter to you when you die. When you die, you'll find that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to be glad that you are a lover of wine when you die. You need to think about that before you die. When you die, you're not going to be glad that you committed fornication. So you need to think about that before you die. This is the time to think about that. And the guardians of the world are thinking about that all the time. 1 Corinthians 9:24 again. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? We're in a race here. Think about that. So run that you may obtain it. And every man that competes is disciplined, and they are after a incorruptible crown. And so I discipline myself, lest by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be unapproved. I think about that all the time. I would never pursue the wine, women, and song credo, because when I die, I wouldn't be glad that I did that. Guardians of the world love all people. All lives matter to them. Guardians of the world love all people and are never unkind or disrespectful to anyone. And that reminds us of rule number five. Love all people. Love them before they love you, and love them even if they never love you back. That's what the guardians of the world do. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Love thinks no evil. I don't think evil of you. Love thinks no evil. Verse 7. Love believes all things. I want to believe the best of you. It is my mission in life to believe the best of you, to put things in the best possible light, to put the best possible spin on everything you do, even if you do it against me. That's my mission. It's what I do. I'm a guardian of the galaxy. Of course, that's what I do. And verse 13, there are a lot of great things in the world, chief among them, faith, hope, and love. But of all of these, of all the things in the whole wide world, the greatest of these is love. And I'm all about building God's kingdom of love. It's what I do. It's what all guardians of the galaxy do. It reminds us of rule number 11 along the same lines. We're never disrespectful or unkind to anybody. We let humility, by God's grace, make us impossible to offend. Oh, well, if you slighted me, it's no problem, because God gives me strength to be slighted. And after all, I'm a servant to everyone anyway, so it's good with me. Humility makes you impossible to offend, and kindness makes it rare for you to cause offense. So, 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense, not to any of the races. I wouldn't like to give offense to any of the races, not to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, and not to the church. I hope not to offend any of the races. That's what guardians of the galaxy always hope. 1 Peter 4:8, and love shall cover the multitude of sins. Oh, so again, you neglected me, you slighted me, you even abused me, you were cruel to me. That's okay, I love you, and you know what? My love is going to cover all that up. I'm willing to overlook that because I love you. That's the way guardians of the galaxy think. Guardians of the world would never dare to judge the hearts of others. How would I dare to judge you? For one thing, I'm commanded not to. But we also see in 1 Corinthians 13:5-7, again, love thinks no evil. How can I judge you? I don't assume that you're being evil. Why would I assume that you're being evil? Because of the look of your face. I can't know that. Love believes all things. You say that you're kind, you say you have my best interest at heart, you say that, okay, well, then I believe you. I love you, so I want to believe you. I will try to believe you. It's where I start. It is my default setting. It is my set point. Proverbs 8:33. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not refuse it. I'll listen to you. I don't say that I know everything. I'll listen to you. Sure, I sincerely wish to believe you. You're telling me that something is important to you. I want to hear that. I do want to hear it. So guardians of the world don't follow the credo of the world or the delusion that poverty is the cause of wine, women, and song and the pain that that credo brings. And we don't follow the delusion that adulterers, wine lovers, and unloving people have nothing to repent of, but moral people must repent of evils they have not committed. We don't follow that delusion. We would never do that. And we don't follow the delusion that it is justice to ignorantly pronounce judgment on majority hearts. We would never follow that delusion. And we don't follow the delusion that those who do follow the wine, women, and song credo should be congratulated and rewarded. We don't follow that delusion. And we won't follow that delusion because we cannot. That's what it means to be a guardian of the galaxy. You know, we need guardians of the world. We need it. Any takers? I said we're going to talk about the real guardians of the galaxy, the fathers who set the pace, the uncommon fathers. And I said that I have to talk about the early departure of a friend today. And so my thoughts have been all around these things, and I could not organize them really into a sensible sermon. So it's sort of like an abrupt shift. So sorry. Lesson one. While cosmic forces far beyond our control are at work in every life, Pete was only 57 years old, younger than I am. Picture of health, an exercise guy, a diet guy, robust in every way. And then for whatever reason, we don't know, he just stopped breathing Monday night. He did have surgery on his legs June 5th. Could that have caused a blood clot that broke loose, went to the heart, the brain, something? We don't know. He has sleep apnea. They say sometimes people with sleep apnea just quit breathing and they die. But on the other hand, he had a CPAP machine. So is that very likely? Why did this happen? Why did it happen? Nobody knows. I guess we'll never know. I talk about this from time to time. Here's the lesson. We think we're in control, and we're not. The illusion of control. The rider on the elephant looks like he has the world all figured out. But in reality, the rider is puny. The elephant is huge. And the elephant will do just exactly as he pleases to do, and there's nothing that the guy on top can do about it. if the elephant doesn't want him to do anything about it. It's good for us to train our elephants such as we can, to teach them to pull our farming tools, to teach them to steer left and right when we ask them to tame your elephant. It's a wonderful thing. But the bottom line is, the world is never really tame. Exercise, eat right, do all the right things. Tame your elephant if you can. But the truth is, elephants aren't really tameable. And they can do whatever they want. And there are huge forces at work in our universe. And Pete did everything right, and he still died at 57. That's a lesson. Reminds us of rule number 4. Abandon all self-confidence in favor of God confidence. Exercise, eat right, do whatever you want to do. But don't ever trust in yourself. Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision, the marked people. We are the marked people who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Exercise, eat right, get an education, plan your life, do whatever you can to tame your elephant. But the bottom line is, don't have any confidence in the flesh, because some huge forces are at work at all time that affect the outcome. Lesson number 2. I am diminished by the absence of a good man. His absence has subtracted something from my life. I considered Pete to be a friend and a resource. I've had questions before, and I've called him up and asked him, how does this work, Pete? What should I do, Pete? And now I can't do that anymore. My life is diminished because of his absence. Something has been subtracted. And by the way, only somewhat related, I'm still feeling a little insecure because Ravi Zacharias died last month. He was only 74 years old. And I learned a lot of great things from him. And I just figured that he was a loud voice to tell people what I want people to know. And now suddenly his voice is quiet and I feel insecure. There has been a subtraction from my life. And that's how it is with Pete. But I derive comfort. It's a subtraction for sure. But I derive comfort from knowing that his absence won't be all that long. And that reminds us of rule number 1. Embrace Christian faith and worship as your only hope for happiness and awe without regret. Psalm 4:4, stand in awe. Be awed, stand in awe. Don't sin. Don't follow the world's credo of wine, women, and song. Stand in awe. Do not sin. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be hushed. Intimidated appreciation for the greatness of God. The Christian faith is wonderful. Pete had the Christian faith. I have the Christian faith. His absence is a subtraction, but it's not a permanent subtraction. It reminds us of rule number 2. Habituate a characteristic focus on the things that will matter to you when you die. Same thing we talked about before. Because at 57 years old, you could die. And you could die today at any age. So if you thought there were a few things in life I wanted to do before I died, it's a really good time to get started on those. If you think, well, I'm going to do that when I'm old, you could be like Pete and never get old. So you better just focus on the things that are going to matter to you when you die now, because you could die now. Lesson number 3. We must face the reality that life in this world tends to be hard for most people. For most people. It just seems like about the time you find yourself in a Norman Rockwell painting situation, something comes along to blow it up. And I feel so sorry for Sula and Sarah. Sula, Pete's widow. Sarah, Pete's daughter. They have already endured so much hardship over the past several years. Unbelievably difficult years. And then another punch in the gut. Piling on, if you will. I feel so badly for them. But the lesson here is that most people find that life in this world is hard. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Your life is about like everybody else's. So when you say, well, my life is so hard, people don't understand. Yeah, people do understand. We have a friend right now in his very early 30s who went through a very difficult surgery this week. And it's a matter of life and death for him. And he is the finest young man you will ever meet. The model young man, a guardian of the galaxy. And he's born to parents who are model parents, who themselves have devastating medical conditions. These are the salt of the earth people. And they've done everything right, like the man who tamed his elephant. They did everything right. And life is still hard. At some point, you have to quit feeling ambushed and say, why me? Life is hard. Life tends to be hard. For most people, life is quite hard. And that's the way it is today. But hardship is how love is proved, how heroism is displayed, and then there comes the amazing end to the story of all the guardians of the galaxy. So it's not all bad. Which is why I seem to have lost a slide. Oh, it's here. Rule number 3. Habituate a characteristic focus on the things that are both true and lovely. You know, like love proved, heroism displayed. A wonderful end to the story. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good news, if there's anything that is a virtue, if there's anything that is a praise, think on these things. Love proved, heroism displayed, a wonderful ending to the story. No matter how hard your life has been, all the guardians of the galaxy have these things to be thankful for every day, every moment of every day. So here's the conclusion. The real guardians of the galaxy are the uncommon fathers who reject the wine, women, and song credo of this world and the delusional narrative that people are deriving from that credo. We have plenty of toxic masculinity in our world. Powerful people who are just scary. Fools with guns. We have plenty of toxic masculinity in our world. Most men have been neutralized. If you're a father, if you're a man, God's kingdom of love could sure use you right now. Uncommon fatherhood. I hope you will join me in a commitment today on this Father's Day to be a true guardian of the world. Because Christian men are the gatekeepers. They are the last stand. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that if there's any man listening to me right now who is teetering on the decision to be a guardian, to forsake the credo of the world, I pray that that man would have the moral courage to stand up and join you in your kingdom of love. And Lord, if there's any person of any kind at home in this room, male, female, adult, child, who has never yet given his or her heart to you, I pray that right now that person would say, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. I believe in you. I want your forgiveness of sins forever. I want you to be my Savior. And today, this day, I follow you. And I pray that they would say words to that effect in their hearts right now. This is our earnest prayer in a difficult time. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.